Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to take a bite out of the competition? Are you looking for ideas to make your business better? Welcome to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet,
sponsored by Apple Capital Group.
At the core of every successful business, you'll find people making a difference. And with each episode of the Core Business Show, we talk with those people, examine those ideas, and explore the strategies that make them special. Now, the host of the Core Business Show, Tim Jacquet.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Core Business Show. I'm Tim Jacquet, your host. Today, we're going to talk about doing business in undeveloped economies. If you have any questions, feel free to pose a question in the chat room, or you can email at info@applecapitalgroup.com, or you can go ahead and call the studios at 347-324-3460. Again, it's 347-324-3460. Again, our topic today is doing business and undeveloped economies, and I have the pleasure of having Chuck Benton, who's the Chief Executive Officer for Fundware Advisory Services. They're based out of Chicago, but he's actually in India right now. Chuck, welcome to the program.
Invited to be here.
Great. Thank you. I guess to begin with, kind of tell us about your listeners like to hear personal views on about the person, the bio. So if you don't mind, just kind of share a moment. Tell us about you.
Okay.
And how you got started.
I'm Chuck Benton. All right, good. I'm Chuck Benton, and I've been in the finance and financial accounting area in the United States for years. In 1998, I decided to start a company that was involved in outsourcing of services to professionals, and operated that company through the year 2006, principally getting our backup from countries such as India, Sri Lanka, Singapore, etc., which are underdeveloped economies. And in the year 2008, we decided that we would start Fundware Advisory Services. And since that time, we have been in commodities trading and in financial advisory services, and also in trying to help businesses that want to get into the third world economies to be able to make a positive effort in that domain. Okay?
Wow. Kind of, I know our topic today is regarding doing business in undeveloped countries. Tell us about the experience of what business need to really, what they really should expect in dealing with businesses in those type of economies.
Well, they have people in the U.S. need to be aware. Okay, the dealing in an underdeveloped economy is sort of like dealing in with the second world people that are in the U.S., okay? These people, though educated, okay, are not particularly of the same integrity or have the same ethics that people in the Western world have. Okay? Some of the primary things that I think I can share is I'm currently in India, and I went to India because theoretically it's a democracy and it's the world's largest democracy, to see how democracy works in the underdeveloped economy and whether in fact it makes doing business here any easier. And quite honestly, it doesn't. Okay, the third world economies are truly underdeveloped, and the people who want to come here, and there have been a number of large companies that have come to India, and need to learn this. Okay, and they need to be aware that these underdeveloped economies don't do business the same way that we do in the United States.
What type of expectations, what would be the main differences, what the expectation is and what's the reality?
Well, I guess the first thing that one would say is that when you talk to a third world person and you ask them a question, they'll give you the answer back that they think you want to hear, regardless of whether it's the truth or not. Okay? Truth and integrity have a very small part of what goes on in an underdeveloped economy. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The underdeveloped economies are truly that because that's the way they've grown up. Okay? Their governments are that way. Their legal systems are that way. And selling goods or buying goods from these economies, you have to take into account the fact that, you know, even though these people, many of them, are well educated, the education hasn't really covered what goes on in a developed world. Sort of like having a game and learning how to play it in a textbook, but never actually seeing the game yourself. That's the way these people basically are.
Do you think it's because of the they're in survival mode, and that kind of skew the sense of being and dealing with integrity? If they, we're not really. We only know what we see on TV, and we don't know what's the what reality is. Or we seeing the dark side, or we seeing the upside. It's like the big unknown picture. Or do you think they're in survival mode? Is why the government do the things they do and the people?
No, I think they're in a mode of they haven't, how do I phrase this? They haven't figured out yet that it's better to be straight and it's better to operate in that mode whether you get what you want or you don't. In the U.S., of course, we've all learned this, but here they think that it works in a different way. Okay? For instance, mm-hmm. anything that you want to buy, if you're a business person, in the way of government assistance or whatever, okay, by paying a small fee to the government to be able to get it, you'll never get it here in India. You'll never get it in any other country. There's always someone who's going to have their hand under the table who's going to want you to pay maybe 1,000 times more than the actual fee in order to give you the opportunity to be able to do what you want to do. Okay?
So everybody's in for themselves.
You got it. You got it.
Okay.
The last statistics that I heard, they have what they call a double economy here. Okay, and the double economy is called the white economy, okay, which is the economy that goes through the books and records of companies in this country. And then there's the black economy. Now, we have mm-hmm. that also in the U.S., but it's probably less than 2% of the total economy. Here in India, it's estimated it's getting close to 45 to 46% of the economy. Okay.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah, are
okay.
the business schools? You there? I'm here. I'm listening.
I'm here. Yes. Go ahead, please.
Are the business schools or teaching our, let's say, I'm not gonna say American concepts, but are they teaching on the same platform in the Western world, like we do here in the States?
They try. I mean, for instance, IIT, the Indian Institute of Technology, is probably one of the best schools in the world as far as teaching is concerned. The difficulty with it is that they never get involved, okay, with actually, in other words, they teach the concepts of what happens in the U.S. or what happens in the U.K. or what happens in the EU, okay? But they don't teach you, okay? They can't show you exactly what that means. So consequently, it's kind of like getting an education and never having the real opportunity to be able to use it.
So there's clearly a disconnect there. Is what they see in the books, maybe they can't really comprehend and practice in real life.
That's right. So consequently, you get the idea, which we all got after World War II, which was that the underdeveloped economies basically copy everything that goes on in the developed economies. Well, you know, that in fact is the case. That is what happens. Okay, so if you submit an idea, regardless of what you put in it to try to keep it protected, okay, to an underdeveloped economy, once they get it, they take it as their own. But they develop very little new information which they can use with what they have copied.
Okay. If a company is here in the States or anywhere in the world, want to get an overview, of course you have companies like your yourself, you kind of give them a one-to-one, but is there any way that they can go to the State Department to get a realistic view on how to do things legally, do things the right way, and kind of educate their staff in their approach as they will come to, like, India and to do business from, you know, IT. They're real big in IT, big in some other things as well. But what resource they can go here in the States to try to get that information so they know what they're dealing with?
One would think so. But, in fact, quite honestly, people from the States, people from the EU, you know, I mean, are getting bit. A major company in the sports business from Germany just got bit in India approximately a month ago by their chief executive officer in India and chief operating officer in India to the tune of approximately $250 million.
Ooh,
okay?
Wow.
That's a big bite. Okay?
And
the
What happened?
What was the records being changed, records being done the way that they want to do them, monies being put into accounts that they don't belong in. The two COO and CEO of this company are currently residing in jail in Delhi. Okay? But this is, I mean, that's just one huge example, and it happens all the time here. Okay? This is the way the world works in an underdeveloped economy. The banks have tried to come into here. In fact, there's many banks from the U.S. that are in India, you know, trying to do business like the Indian banks do. And they're, you know, not doing well. But neither are the Indian banks. Okay? Someone who wants to borrow money in India, you know, really, truly, if it doesn't work out for one reason or another, just walks away and doesn't ever pay the loan. Okay?
That's amazing.
Well, it's amazing, but if you know what you're getting into and you take the proper steps, Tim, then, you know, it's one of those things that you can win at it, but you have to take into account, you have to look at what you're trying to do and whether it fits with what's in the underdeveloped economy.
What types of businesses that can do well or prosper in that type of economy? Is it manufacturing or IT? If you put it in a nutshell, so they won't get burned or have the less likely chance of getting burned?
Well, the thing you have to look at an underdeveloped economy, the population, for instance, in India is about 1.1 billion people. Okay,
mm-hmm.
That's about five times the population of the U.S. Okay, but out of the 1.1 billion people, there's only about 300 million of them, okay, who live on what we would consider to be average spendable income, which in this country, an average spendable income for a year is probably someplace in the neighborhood of less than $10,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But there's a tremendous market here, okay, for goods that these people can afford to buy. But obviously, if your income were cut to $12,000 or less a year, you know, what can you afford to buy in the U.S.? Not a whole lot. And people here are in the same boat, okay? They can't afford to buy the tremendously expensive stuff. I mean, if you can, those that are super rich, but otherwise, for the mass market that's here in India, you have to take into account that they can't afford it. Okay? You can't afford to walk into a store and pay $100 for a pair of shoes in India, okay? Because nobody has $100 to come and pay for a pair of shoes. So if you're selling $100 pairs of shoes in the U.S. and try to bring them to India and sell them for $100, you might as well close your store before you get started. Okay.
So they don't actually adjust their price for tennis shoes or something like that for that particular economy.
Well, they try to adjust their price, but of course the problem is that if I'm building a pair of tennis shoes that cost $79.95 in the U.S., and I want to sell that pair of tennis shoes in India, okay, chances are I don't have a lot of room to cut the price from $79.95. There isn't that much profit margin to be chopped away in order to get somebody to buy what I make.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to then make the decision of, can I make a pair of tennis shoes that meet my standards and meet their standards, okay, that will in fact sell for something that they can afford to pay, which may be $29.95 or $35.
Okay.
The biggest items that sell here, okay, are items that get rejected for sale to the U.S. So, for instance, a U.S. manufacturer goes to China and says, I want to buy these goods, and they have to be to this level of without heirs, okay? Chinese don't make the things without heirs. Okay, but what they do is they ship them to the other third world economies and sell them on the street. You can buy a pair of name brand shoes on the street here in India, okay, for probably $5. Problem is that you put them on, and by the time you get to the corner, you need a shoe repair man because the stitching gave way. But they sell. Okay.
Mhm. Okay.
So this is what the people buy.
What we're going to do, Chuck, is going to take a break real quick, and we're going to talk about more about the forms of democracy there. Be back in one moment. You listen to the Core Business Show.
You're listening to the Core Business Show, sponsored by Apple Capital Group. Apple Apple Capital Group in Jacksonville, Florida, is a commercial lender that specializes in asset-based loans, equipment leasing and financing, invoice financing, commercial real estate loans, and asset-based financing in the U.S. and Canada. Apple Capital Group is a direct lender that lends on their private equity investment portfolio. 90% of most loans are decided within 2 hours, and vendor funding within 24 hours after documents are completed with a one-page application. No slow no's, just a quick decision and a fast yes. To get more information about lending from Apple Capital Group, call 866-611-7457. That's 866-611-7457 to speak with one of our loan specialists. Or visit us right now at applecapitalgroup.com. Welcome back to The Core. Once again, here's Tim Jacquet.
We're with Chuck Benton. He's the Chief Executive Officer of Fundware Advisory Services out of Chicago, Illinois. He is calling in from India. Chuck, to go back to, I think, some of the topics we were talking about that we email each other about, you mentioned here what are the various forms of democracy there in that particular country?
Well, there's two basic forms of democracy, okay? There's the democracy that you have in the U.S., which is basically that the people that make the laws, the Senate and the House of Representatives, okay, make the laws, and then you vote a president in who, in fact, administers, okay, what the House and the Senate have passed into law, okay? Then you have the system which comes out of the United Kingdom, England, okay, whereby you have two houses, the House of Lords, for instance, and the House of Commons, okay? But you have no the laws that are made by these groups are also administered by these groups. Now, in the underdeveloped economies where there are democracy, they follow the UK's example. So consequently, if you make a law, you're very probably also going to administer that law. And the problem with that is that if I make a law for you and you want to use it, you're going to pay for it. Okay? You're going to pay me under the table to use the law. Whereas in the U.S., that doesn't happen because there's no way, okay, for the person who's getting any money under the table to actually make it work because they report to another individual. Okay? So those are the differences between what they call democracy in the rest of the world and what actually is democracy in the U.S. So you don't want to get tied up with it if you can, but if you have to, you want to know what you're getting into before you get started.
What type of issues with, also you mentioned here on banking, you mentioned that the Royal Bank of Scotland basically sold all his operations over there. What type of problems they were experiencing?
Well, the problems in India in making loans, for instance, are the fact that the loan is made based upon nothing more than the collateral you have to support the loan. Okay? If, in fact, the bank thinks you have enough collateral, they'll lend you the money regardless of whether you can pay it back or not. Okay? Whereas in the U.S., when you go to the bank, yes, they're concerned about the amount of collateral that you have in case the loan goes bad, but the first thing they're interested in is can you pay it back out of the operation that you're contemplating? Okay? Mm-hmm. And so the difference is that there's a tremendously high non-payment rate in India and in other underdeveloped countries for loans made by banks. Okay? And banks are always continually liquidating collateral to try to get their money back. Well, if the economy is continually growing and becoming larger, then, you know, it's difficult but it's still possible to get your money back. If the economy slows down, which it has in India at the moment, these banks are in real trouble. Royal Bank of Scotland got itself into trouble. Many of the other banks have problems. Some never have gotten in far enough to have the problems, but, you know, it's a difficult situation.
Wow. So if there is a check sheet, if a company wants to do business in those type of economies like India, China, and Korea, and so forth, is there anything they can do to protect themselves to minimize that risk?
Well, you know, there's a lot of companies out there who claim that, you know, we know what's going on, and in fact, they really don't. You know, that's one of the reasons that I came over here with Fundware Advisory Services, is to find out what the real story is here, is so that, in fact, you know, we can give the kind of advice that manufacturers, middle-of-the-road manufacturers, can use in order to figure out, yeah, in fact, do I want to expand? Okay? I'll give you an example. McDonald's in the U.S., okay, is a hamburger place. Okay? Mm-hmm. In India, it's a rather high-class restaurant. Okay?
Wow.
Same product. Okay, except they don't eat beef here, but same products, but, you know, they're sitting in the front row of the larger malls here in India, acting like a top-line restaurant. Okay?
Well, so, go ahead. Okay, I'm listening. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, go ahead. I'm sorry. That's the
no,
end
no,
of
no.
I had to say there.
So even with McDonald's, how does your company fit? You're there for the summer or there for a month or so to try to get a feel for the pros and cons of doing business there to come back to the U.S. and take it to your clients?
Well, that's one of the things that we're doing, along with the fact that I don't spend 1 or 2 months here. I spend probably 9 months a year here and the other three back in
Wow.
the U.S. Okay. And the point of the matter is to be able to help businesses, okay, that want to grow into the third world to get in and not get hurt. So that, you know, I mean, systems that you would never think of using in the U.S., you need to use here because you've got to protect yourself, okay? You spend the money to come over here. You spend the money initially to find out, you know, will my product sell? Will my service sell? And then when you get here, you've got to make sure that what it sells for and what you're getting out of it is, in fact, what's truly there. But there's a tremendous marketplace here for businesses because there's a tremendous need. Okay?
When we're talking, for example, like the EU, we know we have issues right now going on with Spain and Greece. Is that having any effect on India's
mm-hmm.
economy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because India has been selling to the EU. Okay, and quite honestly, Greece, Spain, Italy, you know, are all part of the EU. They're having their problems making sure they're getting paid for what they're doing. Most of what they're doing is they're putting together goods which they're shipping to these economies. So it's having an impact on the underdeveloped economies.
Wow. And dealing with those, what do you see India in the next 5 or 10 years?
If they change their government a little, they may start growing. But, you know, they're going to stay in the copy mode for probably the next 10 or 15 years. Okay. They're playing second under right now to China. I mean, China is obviously the largest economy in the world, or the second largest economy in the world at the moment. Okay, and India is trying to play up to being the third largest economy, but it's going to be a difficult situation for them. But it's a good place, okay, if you're a U.S. business person who wants to expand what they're doing to get into India. It just makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's okay. 700 million people here who need to buy, need to sell, need to do whatever. Okay? But if you leave it to them alone, they're not going to do it right. If you're going to come here, you're going to have to... Go ahead.
No, if you're going to come here, go ahead.
Yeah, if you're going to come here and you know what you're doing, you can make a good income in India, great income. There's not a problem. I mean, there's as many people in India with a serviceable income as there are in the entire United States.
Wow. So what industries will... If a person looking to do business, what probably some of the businesses they can come in to do? Open a McDonald's franchise, or, you know, kind of tell us what type of businesses will probably do well there, in your opinion.
Well, consumer goods, right at the moment, as I said, are being sold as second-rate knockoffs from China, okay? So if you can put together an entourage of products which these people can afford to buy, which are better than they can get on the street, they'll buy them. Okay? One of the industries that's growing very fast right now is the cell phone industry. Okay? Almost everybody in India has a cell phone. Okay? But they're buying knockoffs from China. Okay? Because they can't mm-hmm. afford to buy the stuff which is currently being produced in the U.S. That's just the way it is. But if you do your research properly as to what you want to do, you can make it work.
Wow. And what type of research if you advise them to go take a look at if they have to do their research? If it's consumers...
Well, the research they want to do... Now, the research they want to do is to say, okay, one, do I have a product which the Indians would buy? Okay, let's take a winter coat, for instance, that you might buy in the U.S. I want to sell winter coats? Probably not in India. Okay, on the worst day in Chennai, India, the temperature may not climb above 80. Okay. On the hottest day, it's probably 110. Okay, in the northern area where you're up amongst the Himalayas, you may get a little snow in the wintertime, but not much. Okay, raincoats? Yeah, monsoon season, they need raincoats. Okay, the women here love to dress in fancy clothes. Okay, but they can't afford to pay for fancy clothes, so if you want to make something and sell ladies' clothing, make something that looks good, okay, but doesn't cost a lot. The gaudier the colors, the better off you are.
Wow.
Okay.
So they really like a lot of colors. Okay.
Well, they like colors, they like jewelry. I mean, there's nothing... I can sit and walk down the street and watch a woman walk down the street with 12 gold-looking bracelets on one arm. Okay? They like jewelry. They like gaudy clothes. Okay? But the jewelry's not real. It's not gold. It's not silver or whatever. It's what they can afford. But they wear the heck out of it. Okay?
Okay. Any advice, I guess, in closing that you would like to leave us with in dealing with a country like India? Of course, you know, you got to learn the culture and the language, but anything you'd like to close with, and even about your company?
Okay. Well, I think the main thing to do is, if you're going to come here, don't presume you know anything about almost anything except what you make or what you sell in the way of service, okay? Make sure you do an adequate marketing survey to find out that, in fact, what you want to sell will sell to these people, okay, for a price that they can afford to pay. Okay, now what we at Fundware Advisory Services do is that we point people in the right direction to get the right assistance so that, you know, hopefully they don't make those kinds of mistakes. Okay, and when they come here, be prepared. You're going to start off with a rough road. You know, I mean, you can be the biggest company in the world, and you're still going to start off with a rough situation until the Indian market picks up what it is you're doing. So have enough money in the bank to make it work, or have the resources to get the money if you need it to make it work. Okay, we at Fundware, that's part of what we do, is to try to help make it so that American companies or UK companies or whatever, okay, can come here and start out and not sit there with a fancy store on the side of the street that has no customers, or a fancy office that has a great, great technical staff, but nobody buys what they sell.
Hmm. Okay.
There's a lot of that here. There's a lot of that here in India, and there's a lot of it all over the underdeveloped world.
And if they
so
will actually... Go ahead.
No, go ahead, please.
No, consequently, go ahead.
Well, consequently, what you need to do is you need to make sure, it's like anything else, if you're going to take a risk, make sure that you're ready for it. There's no road that's smooth. We all know that. There's always rocks, and the question is, do you know how to get around them? You know, that's what we here at Fundware are about, is to try to make sure that people, you know, sort of know where the boulders and where the rocks are before they run into them, and so that they can be successful. Because that's the whole idea. Why would you want to come to a third world market, okay, if you don't want to be successful for, you know, the long term? And it's difficult. It isn't easy.
Wow.
It's difficult.
In closing, if they want to contact you and contact your company, how can they do that?
Well, they can do a couple of different things. I mean, they can always give us a call in Chicago. Although that's a monitored number, and we will get back to you. Or you can email our people. You can email me if you want. I'm cfb@fundwareadvisoryservices.com. Be happy to respond to your question.
And your website address?
www.fundwareadvisoryservices.com.
Okay, perfect. And just one last time regarding your email, if you can just give that to us one last time, if you don't mind.
Sure. cfb@fundwareadvisoryservices.com.
Perfect. Well, Chuck, thank you for joining the program. It's been really enlightening to try to get an opinion from you. How the other economies like India and other undeveloped countries, how they actually operate, and things we really need to be aware of when we actually start that process once to relocate in another country. Thank you for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Tim. I appreciated being asked to be on.
Great. Thank you. Take care.
Have a great morning.
Same here.
Bye-bye.
Okay, good evening for you. Take care. Again, everybody, thank you for listening. This show can be downloaded on iTunes on Blog Talk Radio. We love reviews. If you don't mind writing reviews on these shows, or also shoot us an email at info@applecapitalgroup.com and kind of give us an opinion of what shows we need to cover. We get a lot of suggestions, a lot of comments that come in. Thank you for those, and let them continue to come in. Everybody have a great day, and thank you for listening to The Core Business Show. I'm Tim Jacquet, your host.
Thank you for listening to The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. For a free quote on equipment leasing and financing, visit our website, applecapitalgroup.com. That's applecapitalgroup.com. And fill out the information to receive your free quote. We hope you'll join us for our next episode. And remember, you can always get to the core via iTunes. You'll find all our previous episodes there. Thanks again for listening to The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.